Backseat Producers, episode 145, Wall Street. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
And this is David.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
And tonight we head off to Wall Street.
Freak out. All right, next week we're doing...
Memento.
The week after that we're doing Definitely Maybe. Boom, look at that, two for two.
And they're both on Netflix, Instaflix.
I don't know about Definitely Maybe.
I don't know about Definitely Maybe. I think it is, though.
Probably.
And then 2 weeks after that we're doing Tron. We're doing between the second and fourth week, so that'll be a surprise to everyone.
Be a surprise. Maybe we'll have to do a contest and let people figure it out. For the three people that are in the chat room right now, because nobody else will have heard this by then.
That's a lot of work. I like how grainy I look in this camera here, because it kind of makes it look like I've got an actual beard. This may be my favorite. This may be my favorite picture of me ever, because it looks like I've got a beard.
Also, with that hairstyle and that beard, it actually kind of makes you look like a samurai.
Well, I'm down with that. Actually, this how grainy it is actually makes my hair look better, because I'm kind of like in that weird lesbian stage between like short hair and long hair. Like,
you complained about being in that stage a while ago.
A lot. It lasts a very long time.
Yeah, you should just do a top knot.
I can't pull it
you
up.
You should be a kender.
I can't. I'm out for that. Anyway, so Wall Street.
Oliver Stone.
Right.
Very definitely an Oliver Stone movie.
Very 80s movie, too.
What other movies have Oliver Stone done?
Platoon.
Platoon, JFK.
I've not seen any of these movies, gentlemen.
You gotta
see Platoon. The Doors.
No, keep going. Alexander. Wait a minute. Alexander with Colin Farrell.
Natural Born Killers.
I haven't seen Natural Born Killers either.
Oh, Talk Radio.
I haven't seen Talk Radio.
This very strange movie.
Talk Radio, that's the one about the guy...
Alan Berg.
Yeah, he like has somebody stalking him? Or?
Well, he wasn't stalking. He was the prototype of every right-wing abusive... radio jock.
Yeah.
Let's see, my colleague.
The shock jock.
Yeah, this is a guy's a shock jock. And,
yeah, I remember that one now.
He's patterned after a real life character called Alan Berg.
Mm-hmm.
Like Aaron Burr.
This guy spends most of the movie abusing every one of his callers until it kind of comes back to haunt him.
Yep.
Spoiler. Anyway, so Wall Street, what'd you think?
Thought it was very much an Oliver Stone movie. I'm not a fan of Oliver Stone in general.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie typified why I'm not a fan of Oliver Stone.
Why is that? Because you just don't like the rather linear story? Or didn't
the
even like
heavy-handed...
Moralizing?
The heavy-handed moralizing.
His dad.
Wow. and the... The general lack of... I mean, the dialogue was subpar, for the most part. With the exception of most of what came out of Gordon Gekko's mouth. I mean, it was written for that character, and everything else was just kind of there.
Well, it was there to support him.
Yeah.
I thought this movie was lame in what it did, but I thought the things that it didn't do weren't lame. When we get later into the plot...
I want you to explain that one.
Are we going to spoil this thing or what?
It's a
1987 movie, so we don't have to worry about it.
Okay, so here's the deal. There are things in the movie that I appreciated that had nothing to do with the story or the characters, right? Okay. So, the first thing that I appreciate about this movie was, when they're in the restaurant, you can hear what they're saying to each other.
Yeah. Like,
the sounds of the restaurant are not louder than the conversation. I realize that that is not realistic. And but I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a scene...
That's a stylistic choice, and that's a good choice to make.
I don't even think that that's a stylistic choice. I think that that's a, I want to communicate to my audience. Great. I appreciate that. Because, like, there's so many TV shows and movies that I just cannot hear what is happening because of the...
Background sound.
Yeah, it's just not equalized well.
Yeah.
The second thing that I appreciate about this movie...
Damn, you are such a podcaster.
I know. It didn't do was... So, he breaks up with the chick,
mm-hmm.
She walks away, and she does not come back.
Yeah.
Thank you. That is how relationships really end. Mm-hmm. People get into a fight. She's like, you know, I actually do care about you. And he's like, I don't care. You've just pissed me off. Leave. And then she's gone. And there's no forced conciliatory scene where, like, he goes and does something weird.
No, she just leaves.
Well, that was kind of, I thought was kind of weird, though. She just, like, her whole character just falls off the radar screen at that point, and we don't have any other closure than that.
That's realistic for relationship.
Yeah, but her character, even in the terms of the story, was just to facilitate the relationship between him and Gordon when Gordon wasn't on the screen.
Yes. She was the Gordon surrogate.
Yeah.
So, I was fine with just leaving.
He wanted to screw Gordon out. She was the next best thing.
This is true. This is absolutely true. So those were things I appreciated. I know I have at least another one. Probably having to do with the lack of a resolution of a happy ending. Like, he doesn't turn it around on Gordon in the end.
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
We don't find out what happens to Gordon.
You don't find out what happens, and if you listen to the things Gordon says while he's being taped, he doesn't give him anything. He's like, I taught you how to get information. But he doesn't say that he did anything illegal. He never admits to doing anything in court would get him in trouble.
But that's just it. We are assuming that Charlie is rolling on him anyway. And Charlie's walking into court there, he's going to give his testimony, and that's going to bring Gecko down.
I don't think so, though. Well, especially as much money he's got, that gotta be fine.
Well, I mean, you gotta remember one little background on this thing. This was done in '87, but it kind of builds on a real case that happened at that time by a guy named Ivan Boesky, who was a very much kind of model. Well, Gordon Gekko was kind of modeled on a part of him,
mm-hmm.
And Boesky was, you know, this big Wall Street trader, you know, everybody thought he was a genius or anything, and it turned out that, you know, like, all he was doing was just trading on inside information.
Mm.
And until his shenanigans got caught up by the SEC, and it was a big scandal that, you know, here's this guy, everybody said, oh, he's a total genius at picking stocks, and he's nothing more than a cheat. And that's, I think, what they're leaving this to do, because... There's one scene where he's walking into the court. If you look carefully, there's a picture of Forbes magazine,
mm-hmm.
and his picture's on the front of it. So we're getting the idea that, you know, the scandal is starting to build on Gecko.
Okay.
Well, and...
Which is fine. They don't explicitly show him getting his comeuppance.
No. Right.
I guess what
but,
I
mean. You know, he
no,
says
there was enough of it. I mean, I was satisfied that they didn't feel the need to... show him being arrested and hauled into court and all that other stuff, because you kind of get the feeling that happened just by that ending sequence with Charlie sitting, well, Bud, you know, sitting there, and they're reviewing the tapes and they're like, thank you for doing this. And it's like, okay, so yeah, they think they've got something on him.
Well, apparently they've got the final piece of the puzzle that they've been wanting to do this to Gecko for some time. He's been under suspicion, and now they've got somebody who's an insider in his organization who's willing to turn on him.
And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the trailer for Wall Street 2, the trailer for it shows Gordon getting out of prison.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it actually Michael Douglas?
Yeah. Yes.
Hmm.
This picks up
20
years later.
And it shows what...
The joke of it is
that they show him getting his stuff back, gold money clip with no money in it, blah, blah, blah. portable or cellular telephone, and they pull out one of those brick phones. Thunk. And then it shows Michael Douglas gathering all of this stuff and getting out of prison.
And Charlie Sheen in it?
No, Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
No, is Charlie Sheen also in it?
No, he is not in it.
That story centers around the Gordon Gekko character completely.
Yeah,
this story was more centered around Bud Fox.
Bud Fox. What a horrible name.
You're kidding, man. So anyway, the best character in this movie was his dad.
Yeah.
Because his dad was no bullshit. And not stupid.
No, not stupid, and I loved the last thing that his dad talks to him about, and he's like, yeah, you screwed up, and yeah, you'll probably go to jail, but this is a good thing for you.
You may come out better for it.
Yeah. That was such a great speech he delivered right there. It was like, yeah, you screwed up bad, and now you're going to pay for it, and that's cool.
They have an awkward relationship, like... The whole... It was my phone. They're standing in the elevator, and he's like, you never did anything for me. You never had the time for me. So, the whole beginning of the movie is, like, when he goes out to lunch with him, he's like, hey, can you loan me some money? And so, like, later, when he pays him back, he's like, yeah, I maybe gave you $500 over a period of time. So, it's like, this dude has been giving you money even after you graduated and told him that his lifestyle sucked, and he's still supporting you. Like, what the... You're so out of touch with the relationship that you have with your father that it's almost unbelievable. But
well, I think that was kind of on purpose, though. This guy's totally out of touch with reality. Totally out of touch with everything anyway. He's lived in this rarefied atmosphere around Gekko. He's kind of forgotten his roots.
He's got his head in the sand,
right,
for the most part, too.
Well, it's all about him.
Yeah, and he thinks that he wants to be the next Gordon Gekko. He wants to be that guy.
Well, he doesn't. Well, one thing is also he doesn't want to be his father's life. He wants to hit the big time fast and not have to claw and scratch his way up. He wants the fast money.
By the way, Dr. Cox was awesome in this movie.
Yeah.
Did you see James Spader? It looks like he was like 15.
I know. He was just in that one scene. I was surprised. He was like, wait a minute, that's James Spader. What's he doing in this movie?
He's not a high-powered lawyer. Chicago with Denny Crane. I don't know what to do here. He hasn't gone through the Stargate yet.
Nice.
That's all I got with James Spader.
He was a drug addict in Less Than Zero.
So, other than that, I found the storytelling of this movie really lame and boring.
Yeah, it's...
It was just so dry, and...
It's very dry, very linear, and it's linear to the point of being boring.
Yes.
There's very little...
Action.
Suspense.
Or interesting dialogue, or plot twists, or anything that you just can't see coming.
Right.
Well, it's very hard to talk about Trading Equities as a slam-bang action flick. I mean, because...
Well, then don't make a movie about it.
But you know what?
But it did capture... But the thing is, the movie did capture the heat of the time. The people were kind of really going nuts on this bull market. And there were a lot of people in there trying to make a lot of fast dollars pretty quick. And they thought, you know, again, Trading Equities was the path to riches.
And I'm going to take exception with something you said about it being explaining how you trade equities and going through that process being boring, because you know what? It was interesting in Trading Places. They made it interesting. They really did. And you know what? For the first time,
that was Eddie Murphy, Tony. Come on.
I understand, but it helps you understand what exactly they're doing. It's kind of like watching how a bill becomes a law in Schoolhouse Rock.
Well, true. Arbitrage is not pretty.
I actually find securities trading interesting just in general. What I was annoyed with was the plot that was getting in the way of me actually watching. Like, if they wanted to do a movie about that and not the other thing, I'd be fine with it. Like, building up the business and stuff. I would probably watch that with less reservations than I watch this with. But that's because I'm boring and like economics.
I
and numbers.
I do too, so I really can't say anything.
You're talking to a technical analyst, too.
So, but this movie was very boring.
Yeah, this movie was unbelievably boring. Like, it was just scene after scene of low energy.
It
and
was...
Even, like, the stock scenes, like, where they're actually on the stock floor, I was still like, ugh, this is so slow. Make this go faster. Like, there was just so much crap they could have cut. Buy me X number of shares of this. Okay, we don't need another shot of them on the floor actually buying it. Yeah, we all get it. It happened. Like,
yeah.
I don't... what does this reinforce?
Yeah, this movie could have used a lot tighter editing.
This movie should not have been 2 hours.
No. No, it should not. A buck and a half the most. I mean, just... Yeah. Seriously. So much could have been cut. The dialogue could have been juiced up a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Every conversation was really dry.
They needed to make Gordon Gekko into Kevin Spacey from Swimming with Sharks.
Yeah.
That's what they needed.
In other words, a lot more amped up one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
A totally manic one. Gordon Gekko in this movie is more or less a very calculating guy. He's not hyper-amped all the time. Only except when he hates to lose.
Right, but even for how calculating he is, though, he makes some really dumb mistakes in some of the stuff he does in trusting this guy who just walks into his office.
Well, I think that's what the point is this guy had the balls to sit there and pursue him, where everybody else, were if they just, you know, just make the one hit and walk away, they get discouraged too easy. And he kept plowing back at him, you know, 50 or said for about 50-some days. Trying to get a hold of him, and finally walked up there and said, "Oh, here's a box of Cuban cigars. I know you like these. And
some very phallic cigars. I hope you put them,
yes,
me, into your mouth."
So the
sexual subtext of this movie is fantastic.
Yes, you know, the guy shows, he says he's got persistence. Okay, that's what he was looking for. How well is this guy going to push on this until he gets what he wants?
My guess is,
or he pushed him until he. Pushed him to do something that he knew was out of his, should have been out of his moral bounds.
Well, that's just it.
And giving him the insider information.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's where Charlie starts to go downhill, is when he's desperate. He's got to get something to get this guy's attention. He just casually mentions, okay, the airline is going to have a resurgence because they've got a favorable ruling, and that gets Gecko's interest. And we don't know at this point that Gekko is just a guy who trades on inside information. It's just the hook that he got in. Okay, now how far will this kid go next? Will he bend all the rules?
And it's really not even Ed Gordon's prompting.
Right.
He just volunteers it. He just keeps saying, "What do you have for me? Everything you've told me at this point is information I can just get."
Yeah.
You know, you have to give me something that
no one else has got.
What can you give me that no one else has got? At the same time, Gordon knew that his father was on the board of this airline. Well,
no, he's
not
on the board.
He's
a union rep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he said something though that, and maybe it was that.
It's at their second meeting.
Yeah.
Because he did a little background check.
Yeah. I knew who you were before you walked in here. We could probably relay the plot in a more interesting way than the plot was relayed by just showing it on film.
Mm-hmm. Bullet points.
It would be
faster. I think we just did the first half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, first half is, you know, the innocent is pulled into the trap and now setting himself up against the big guy. And he's going to see how far he can pull him in. Okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do next to bend the rules to see that you're going to come in? And all this time, you know, Gekko is keeps trying to shield himself. He keeps putting him out on the front lines, and he sits in the background prodding him on, saying, okay, now go follow this guy and see what he does, and go talk to this guy. Go open these accounts in these offshore banks. And he's telling him up front, pretty much, okay, I've got to maintain distance from you. Well, that, for anybody else, would be a trip point there. Well,
yeah, Butt's kind of a douche.
But he's a willing douche. He wants to be a douche.
Butt is a fan.
Yeah.
Butt is a fan who's willing to do whatever he can to maintain that contact.
Well, yeah.
And he keeps seeing that if he doesn't continue to produce, he's going to fall out of favor.
Well, not only that, he's going.
And so he keeps doing more and more.
His own greed is starting to build now because he's seen what the people, other people in his trading office, you know, the guy who sits in the corner whose career is winding down because he can't get any new customers, and he knows if he can't get the money coming in, his dad's thesis is going to be validated that, you know, what he's doing is completely worthless.
I don't know, man. I don't think his motivation in the entire movie is ever greed.
No, he's not. It's not so much the greed comes later. He just wants to.
I don't think the greed ever comes.
He wants to essentially not live the life of his parents. He
I don't
wants
know
the big
it's
money.
Greed so much as laziness.
I don't know. He it's laziness. He wants desperation for approval.
He wants the big kill.
He desperately wants the approval of Gecko because he wants him to be his father and not his actual father.
Okay. I see that.
I don't ever think that, like, even when he gets the apartment, he's like, he doesn't even really care what it looks like. He just has what's-her-face decorated.
Yeah.
And then even when he's there, he's so ambivalent to how it looks or whatever.
But that's just showing his working-class roots. He says several times, I want to have enough money to be able to appreciate stuff like this. He has no taste. His taste is pretty much dictated by people telling him what his taste should be.
And I think that is all clever deflection from what he says at the end of the film when he's talking to Gordon Gekko. He's like, I wanted to be Gordon Gekko. I think that's ultimately what his entire motivation is about. I don't think it has anything to do with the money. I think it's just...
Yeah, I think that was pretty clear from the beginning, though, too, that he just wanted to be Gordon Gekko. He wanted to be that guy. Mm-hmm. The guy that
everybody
that people listen
to. Mm-hmm.
When he talks, people listen. I mean, it was like that old commercial.
E.F. Hutton.
The old E.F. Hutton commercials, which you are probably far too young to remember, that...
E.F. Hutton talks, yeah, people listen.
Yeah. No.
They'll take the color out of the TV.
Color wasn't even invented until the 60s. the gist of the commercial was, well... my broker, E.F. Hutton, says, and then the whole room would stop and lean in. Whatever was going on, all conversation would stop, and everybody would kind of lean in. And the point was, whatever he said was important. Because when E.F. Hutton talked, people listened.
But Merrill Lynch made money the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
They printed it.
They're still making money. I don't think E.F. Hutton is.
No, E.F. Hutton got sucked up in a merger in the 80s.
He wanted to be that guy. He wanted to be the guy that everybody turned to, that all the women fell for. He wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a rock star, but he wanted to do it in securities trading.
Great.
Okay.
I am leery of people who are fanatical about a certain individual. Not any particular individual, just certain, unless they're fanatical about backseat producers. That's acceptable.
That is perfectly acceptable.
And I find it...
Especially when they give us stuff.
Yeah. It always pulls me right out of perspective when somebody is so fanatical to the point of blindness, because I have a hard time relating to that. Like, as soon as he's like, yeah, we kind of need to distance you from me just in case... What?
Yeah.
Those are red flags there that any reasonable person should be.
But not one about. But not one that is in the thralls of idol worship.
Exactly. I agree. I think that's why makes me leery of those people.
Well, that's the whole point of our story. At what point do you what would you do for your God?
Mm-hmm.
Would you do everything he tells you to do to seek his approval? Or do you? At what point does your own morals start to kick in, and you realize what you're doing is totally wrong?
And for Bud,
it was finally realizing that Gecko was just another
turd.
Another turd, corporate raider who was going to go in and tear this airline apart and lay everybody off.
He saw Bud as he saw Gordon as somebody who was bigger than life, as someone mm-hmm. who. Was a god, someone who was above it all,
mm-hmm.
who
had the power to do
says,
things,
and who would do what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Bud doesn't have to lie, or Gordon doesn't have to lie because he's got so much money. He'll just do what he says because he can. Well, no, he's going to lie to your face and then take your wallet when you turn your back, and
then not cry about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, take all the money out of it, shove it back in your pocket, and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I bumped into you."
And that was the worst. So he's being let out of the office, and then he starts crying, and I'm like, "Are you such a bitch?
You know what? I thought that was great. I thought that was really a great moment. I really did, because that shows you just how broken and detached he was. That all of a sudden it was like the reality set in that, you know, he wasn't going to be. Yeah, he's not going to be.
You didn't able win. To this is not a simple. Anymore. This is not a simple thing you did. It was a very complex thing you did. It was totally wrong. And he did the like he said, the weight of the what he did finally hit him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was annoyed.
Because
it was uncomfortable to watch. Well, it was awesome. I thought that was great.
It was uncomfortable to watch too. But you know, he was becoming Gordon Gekko in that little world right there. Everybody looked up to him, thinking he was a super genius.
Yeah.
And then everybody sees him for what he really is. He's just another cheat.
Yeah.
And his little world shattered at that point.
Hans Gruber.
Yeah, there's no contest. Yeah, Chibi in the chat room is asking who would win in a fight, Gordon Gekko or Hans Gruber. I don't think there's any contest.
There's any competition there either.
Hans Gruber.
You have to watch like where the fight takes place. If it's really high up, Gordon Gekko has the advantage.
He does have the advantage. If there are roofs to fall off of,
yeah,
it could go to
Hans
Gekko.
Gruber has a single weakness.
It could and go it's to a Gekko. Roof.
I got nothing else in this. My frustrations.
The one thing too. This movie totally wastes Daryl Hannah as a totally miscast actor.
Yeah,
I mean the whole role of women in this movie is just
the window dressing.
They're just marginalized.
Like there's nudity in the movie. You see an ass, and then you see some bush, like in the beginning. And that woman is never talked about.
Mm-hmm.
She gets out of the bed, she walks off the set. And
yeah, walks in front of the camera, and that's disappears.
See her, and then there's like half a line where it's like, still banging that French chick? No. Shut it.
Yeah.
It's just random frontal nudity.
Sticking up for the Daryls, eh, Daryl?
Yeah, we all gotta stick together.
They're in a club together.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think that she was wasted. I don't find her that attractive, but... And she kind of annoyed me. Remember, she was on screen. Just Stamp kicked ass, though.
Yeah, it was nice seeing him.
I was like, you are the voice of Jor-El on Smallville.
I wanted him to say Neil before his Zod.
Because she won a Razzie for this movie.
Yes.
What's that?
A Razzie. Worst Daryl Hannah.
Worst female supporting actress.
Where Michael Douglas won best supporting an Oscar for best supporting actress, she wins a Razzie.
It's like the only movie that's ever won a best supporting and a Razzie for worst supporting.
Yeah, it's in the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because actually this year Sandra Bullock won a worst actress and best actress. She won a Razzie and an Oscar.
What she won the Razzie for?
That movie where she played a nutcase who was like stalking a guy, but it was kind of like a comedy. I can't remember
the Proposal?
No, that was funny.
That movie was all right. I really just
Betty White kicked ass in it, though.
Betty White did kick ass. I really wanted to see Sandra Bullock get naked in that movie, and then they're like,
she
almost
does not
does.
Do that.
I know she doesn't do that. And I was like, come on. Who here has not been masturbating to her since Speed? I mean, seriously, come on.
He has a comment, Mr. Chibi there. Yes, she made a splash in this film. Probably not the one she wanted, but that's the tragedy. She made did such a wonderful job in Splash and then gets into this and...
I have no idea what's happening now.
He completely drops the ball.
I only have two memorable roles for Daryl Hannah. Three, now that I think about it. Kill Splash. She was in Kill Bill?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of the Vipers.
The one-eyed chick?
I've only seen it once.
What happened to the other eye? Pai Mei took it out.
she was in...
her other eye between her toes.
She was in Steel Magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
And the one...
Oh, Blade
Cyrano.
Runner. Mm-hmm. And Blade Runner, too.
She was in Blade Runner, but she's not as memorable in Blade Runner.
But then again...
Because she was... With the weird shit, the weird makeup, though.
She was crazy hot, though.
She was crazy.
Hot, yeah. Well. No, crazy hot. Compound. It's crazy hot. It's like
Roxanne,
hot.
Yes.
Oh, it's Jeff. Hey.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, she's an actress that seems to have a very uneven career.
My mouth just did something, I don't know.
Yeah, see, this guy knows Pris. Chippy's on top of this. He's got this shit sorted.
But hope floats.
I've never seen that.
So does poop, because that's what that movie was. That movie was bad.
I can tell you definitively, poop is in my basement.
Is it floating?
No, there's no water anymore. Well... Sandra's got a manly presence. I don't think that's true at all, but I will kill any man who says so. Come on, Speed 2. It was a cruise ship.
It was a horrible movie. Oh my god, if the first one wasn't bad enough, that one was just...
I think they were stretching on the bus itself.
No. Dennis Hopper died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people seem really upset about that. Like, this is
He's
what,
been
this
dying.
Is, this is what confuses me about...
He's been dying. He's had... cancer for, and he announced a couple months ago that he had cancer, so it's not really
well. I find
unknown.
Most interesting about celebrity deaths is like people wailing in the streets. Like when Gary Coleman died, like this is a tribute, my tribute to Gary Coleman. Really, Gary Coleman? Webster? Yeah. Come on, like
not Webster.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Arnold different Drilling. Strokes.
Whatever. Different strokes. Don't make me punch you. What you talking about, Adam?
Blaxploitation movies from our television series from whatever. It's like, people are really upset about this. Or just, hey, you have to put on that facade that they're really upset about it because they don't have anything else to talk about. I think it's more that than anything else. I want to say something, but I don't have anything to say, so I'll say something about this topical business.
Yeah. I mean, it always weirds me out when someone who's about my age dies, because that's just...
You are getting old.
Well, that happens.
40's peeking around that corner, isn't it?
Getting close. I'm cool.
I'm not going anywhere with
40's
it.
Awesome. I'm just waiting for it.
40 wasn't awesome when I wasn't 40, but now that I'm right there, it's pretty awesome.
I don't mind aging, because I'm getting a Reed Richards stripe, so I'm cool with it.
Starting to resemble your heroes now.
That's right. If I could just stretch like that, sumbitch.
Only part
be all good.
You only need it in certain parts.
That's right. Julie would appreciate it.
I got nothing. Yeah, Dennis Hopper died, and I was like, damn, I gotta watch Waterworld now.
Oh, no, you don't. You want to do Waterworld? You want to do Blue Velvet?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to watch Waterworld.
He was great in Waterworld.
I want to watch Waterworld because I want to watch Waterworld. I don't really care.
It's just another excuse to.
Dwarfed, huh?
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's the Phil's Gary Goldman died. I heard his life was short. Fantastic.
Cruel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cold.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yes, no doubt Mr. Hopper overshadowed him quite considerably.
Oh, you should do. You should watch Super Mario Brothers.
Wow, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
That's a failing on your part.
I saw it in the theaters.
So did I. What do you got?
Were you, like, wearing a diaper to that movie or something?
That movie came out.
I know. I know. It would have to be at least in the 90s.
It was early to mid-90s. Had to have been. Come on, John Leguizamo? You cannot go wrong with John Leguizamo.
No, he did play a pretty good clown in Spawn.
Spawn, yeah. Bob Costas? Come on.
Bob Costas was in that too?
No, Bob Hoskins.
I was going to say.
Bob Hoskins. Bob Costas. I mean,
I didn't know he was in that.
That time, he was still on KOX Radio.
Son of a bitch. He's like on the board of directors for one of the local universities.
Was he playing
Toad? So I hear his name, and then I'm like, that's Mario Mario. 1993. Boom. That's early to mid. That's right in that cusp.
Captain Lou Albano.
Is that the guy from the TV show?
I don't know. Is it
Mario Power Hour?
I don't. Never saw that.
It's pretty good.
I was.
It's on Netflix streaming.
I would have been a little old to be watching the Mario Power Hour.
No, that's, you're never too old for Mario Power Hour. I put it in the queue. And I told Melinda we're watching through this. So, since we seem to be done with all this, we're finished. The fall and spring season of television is over now, which sucks because I don't know at what point this happened when I became an adult, but I watch a metric crap load of television now. Like, seriously, I watch regularly maybe 15 to 20 shows weekly that I keep up with.
You're a trooper.
I consume content. Well, I work while I do it, so it kind of... I'm trying to justify it. I watch a lot of TV. So, now that the spring season is over, like, we're transitioning awkwardly into the summer season, where it's like, USA is really getting on board with having, like, shows that are on new during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why they haven't done this before. Like, the summer season.
Yeah.
To kind of fill in that gap between, because nothing else is on.
Some of the networks are starting to do that now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, because
they're finally jumping on board.
Right, because Glee ran past the spring.
Well, it's because they took their long break.
Yeah.
But they've still got one more week.
Yeah, next week's the finale. So I was like, man, we need to watch another long series because we are out of stuff to watch. And this not having stuff to watch is getting painful. So we started watching Bones just because I can stream most of it and I don't have to go hunt around for it. So I'm watching the show. We're maybe 4 or 5 episodes in. And I'm like, this show is poorly written and terrible.
Like, seems to be some agreement on that, too.
Yeah, Bones, it's just absolutely awful. So I don't, like, the dialogue is just bizarre. The characters are not quirky, but just weird. Like, one of the chicks is...
But those are...
I think
those
you
are
and him should be
novel.
Dating, so I'm going to go stalk his girlfriend. What?
What?
It's like, what does this have to do with anything?
Isn't Bones based on a novel? Series of novels?
Yes. About some anthropologist crime-fighting superwoman. Who knows?
Fantastic. That sounds like something I would love.
Emily Deschanel. So whenever you look at her, you're like...
Why aren't you your sister?
Your sister is so hot, and you look just like this ugly reflection of your sister. And so when I look at you, I'm like, God damn it, where's Zoe?
Spectacular Spider-Man is wonderful.
I don't have access to any of this technology here, so...
And
then, what the hell, man? Flash Forward sucked for most of the season?
I have not watched the last 8 episodes of it.
Flash Forward sucked for most of the season, and then, like, the last 3 episodes, it got great, and then it got canceled. I was like, son of a bitch!
Have you seen Life on Mars yet?
No. It got canceled too early. I don't want to get involved in a show that gets canceled that early.
Watch the series.
I've been burned before, Tony.
Watch the series. It ends.
It ends?
It ends. There is an ending.
Okay, so it's a conclusion.
It is a conclusion.
Is it a to-be-continued conclusion?
No. It is a solid conclusion. Okay, now, there's a BBC version that I have not seen that I've heard is better than the U.S. version. I've only seen the U.S. version. I thoroughly enjoyed the U.S. version. In fact, I want to buy the U.S. version because after seeing the end, I want to go back and watch it. Because there are things that I must have missed.
Life on Mars, Chewie.
Life on Mars.
Huh. Alright, well, maybe I'll look into that.